Speaking with Darrett Atkins, who's coming to the Tuesday Music Club here in San Antonio, we're delighted that you'll be back in town. You were actually here as we were talking with the Youth Symphony just a couple of years ago.
That's right. I was here. I came for my good friend Troy Peters, who I grew up with out on the West Coast in Tacoma, Washington. And when he had established his new life in San Antonio, he had the opportunity, he said, to bring down some of his, you know, favorite musical collaborators. And he brought down a composer that he knew well when they were at Curtis together. And I came down and played Schumann Concerto and gave some classes and that sort of thing. It was wonderful. It was a really, really great experience.
Well, I think this program has stuff that people will really love, and then maybe some pieces that people won't recognize but will probably love as well. Tell us a little bit how you put together this program, because I think it has this wonderful syrupy sort of start with Debussy and Brahms.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, I've been playing, and as I think you've been telling some of helping your listeners discover, I've been playing these programs lately called Hypersuites, which are a box suite wrapped around a contemporary solo cello recital. It's a very provocative and unusual type of programming idea, and it's very risky. And in fact, when the Tuesday Club called and said, would you come down and do a recital, I offered them that program. And they said, well, you know, maybe some on a company play, but they really wanted a traditional, they wanted a real cello piano recital, you know, a normal, you know, kind of a standard, with some standard repertoire, some things people would know. And I have made my career playing contemporary music mostly and playing unusual things. And lately I've really been getting back into, I've given recitals of all the Beethoven sonatas and variations. I've been given all the Brahms, three Brahms sonatas, including the G major violin sonata, which has been written, transcribed, I believe, by Brahms into D major for the cello. So, you know, thematic programs of with a real strong point of view, either from a composer or a period or of all unknown music. And when they wanted this kind of recital, I jumped at the opportunity to play some of the real masterpieces of the repertoire, pieces that have been interpreted by every major cellist in the history of the last 100 years, get played a lot, get played gorgeously a lot. And I thought, what a wonderful challenge to sort of set up a recital that makes a statement about, you know, major works by Debussy, Brahms, Chopin, even Janáček, which, you know, this is a lovely little piece that's not played a lot, but he's a composer that's known for his operas and for his symphonic works. And, you know, putting together a sort of standard program like that. But I couldn't resist putting the Richard Wernick's second solo suite on the program, which is a wonderful piece for solo cello, which gets included in my hypersuite programs, along with the third suite usually. But it's a remarkable work with a lot of wit and a lot of character and depth of chromaticism and imagination and everything. I wanted to put at least one thing on there that nobody's heard before.
Yeah. I imagine as you have conversations with the composers that are living, probably impacts the way you play composers who are no longer here that we can't have conversations about.
That's a wonderful observation, John, because the idea they said, I think they say it on, there's an NPR station in New York, I think, something that says, reminding you that all music was once new music. You know, that's their little tagline. They say, reminding you that all music was once contemporary music.
Yeah, the Composer's Datebook does that. Yeah. It's
that's what
stuff.
It is, the Composer's Datebook, right. Yes, that's right. So you hear that every day. And that's a tremendous reminder because we, living with, you know, composers, Dick Wernick is somebody that I know. We're not yet very close, but we've spent some time together and we have a lot of mutual friends. And hearing even the little things that he says about his music and about other music really provokes you into thinking differently about older music. I was at a Juilliard Quartet open rehearsal a few years ago where Mario Davidovsky came, and they were rehearsing his, I believe, the fifth quartet, which they were running around with. And they played the quartet, and it was an amazing performance and everything. And then Mario started talking, and he was asking Joel Smirnoff, I think, no, it wouldn't have been Smirnoff at that time. This would have been, it was probably Ron Copes. He was saying, hey, the end of this phrase, I want you to pick up the material from the beginning of the other phrase, and as you extend it, it's just like that place in the Beethoven Sixth Symphony. And he started singing, and he said, he takes that little fragment and continues it. He said, I was thinking about Beethoven. Well, the next time I went through the Sixth Symphony, or one of the quartets, or one of the sonatas of Beethoven, I'm noticing all of these developing lines, and I think, oh, that's what Davidovsky's doing and it takes you back, and you reinterpret your Beethoven with a composer's ear, and it's tremendous. I mean, it's really exciting.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to have you here in San Antonio Tuesday with the Tuesday Music Club. It's one of those things. I'm sure it's there've been horror stories about traveling with cellos and instruments and whatnot. Do you mind telling us a little bit about your cello?
My cello is a cello that was made in Bologna, Italy, in 1681 by a man named, I don't know, he probably had a number of different first names, but Johannes Tononi is his last name, and Johannes is his first name, the German version. I think he was also known as Giovanni. They did that in those days. They changed their first names around depending on what community they were in. But it was made in Bologna before Tononi moved to Venice, where he really helped establish the Venetian school that was Goffriller and Montagnana. But he's a predecessor to them, and so the cello has a lot of traits in common with what later became the Venetian school. And it's a remarkable instrument. I'm very lucky to have it and love playing it.
Oh, excellent. I was also curious, we've enjoyed some of these hypersuites. What's some of the new music that you're preparing and planning to record? Can you share it with us?
Well, sure. I just finished recording a very exciting new concerto by an old friend of mine by the name of Philip Cashion, who is the head of composition at the Royal College of Music in London. I think that's the right school. But, the main conservatory in London. And he and I were buddies back at Tanglewood when we were both students there. And I had just randomly been assigned to premiere his first string quartet at Tanglewood. He had won some sort of notice, I forget, I think all the composers submit pieces at the beginning of the summer. And so a couple of them get selected to be performed by fellowship students. And so I got to play his first string quartet. And we ran through about three different coaches and hours and hours and hours of rehearsal. It was the most unbelievably difficult piece any of us had ever played in all of its, 12 or 14 minutes. But it turned out to be a spectacular success. And we spent so much time with Phil and with other people trying to get the thing ready because it was so difficult that we really became close friends. And then I spent a month in England one winter term from college, and I stayed in Phil's apartment, and we talked about music for 2 weeks straight, and he showed me the music he was working on, and I played the music I was working on. And since then, he's written me a couple of pieces, but he's written pieces for orchestras and chamber ensembles, all over the world. A lot of his works are recorded on English record labels and in Europe, and he's really developed an important reputation. But when I got the opportunity to, his manager called me and said, we're getting ready to write a cello concerto. There's a commission in England, but there's only half a commission. Would you like the other half? I jumped on it. And fortunately for me, the first half of the commission fell through, so my commission held, and I got the whole piece, and I got to record it. And that'll be out, I think, in England in the fall, and in America probably in a year or two.
Oh, excellent. Very exciting.
That was an awful lot of fun.
Yeah. What orchestra?
We did that here in Oberlin with the Oberlin Contemporary Ensemble, which expanded into a string orchestra.
Oh, cool. Well, that'll be, we
but
will.
Then, yeah, we'll look forward to that. I'll make sure you get a copy at the station. And then there's another hypersuite coming, which will involve the Wernicke. And also there'll be another Figment by Elliot Carter, Figment 2. He wrote two solo cello pieces. And I'm still trying to decide what all of the other pieces will, but there's a very short piece by Philip Cashion also called Drift, a solo cello piece, which is a beautiful sort of 4.5-minute rhapsody of sorts in the style that some of the concerto writing is in. And let's see, that's three other pieces there too. I'm considering recording Morton Feldman's Projections 1, which is a graphic piece, which I really love. But it's
oh,
a tricky
cool.
piece to record because it's so soft. His music is so soft, and it's a little weird to record a graphic piece because then the choices that you're supposed to make in the moment become immortalized. And so I'm a little apprehensive about recording that, although I love to do it live in the hypersuite. So that's coming up as well.
Oh, excellent. And that'll be paired with the third cello suite?
I think that's going to be the third suite, right?
Oh,
that's
excellent.
How it's working out so far.
Yeah. Oh, that's very exciting. Do you want to get through all six eventually?
eventually. I mean, who knows who's got the time, but there's certainly enough repertoire. The problem being that when you get to the fifth suite, because you tune differently for the fifth suite, you know, the scordatura requires that you bring the cello A string down to a G, and it sounds very different. But then with the fifth suite, I'm going to have to, all the inner pieces are going to have to be commissioned, so I don't have to change my tuning. And I've already been talking to composers about, friendly composers, saying, hey, you should write a piece for cello scordatura in this, you know, tuned the way it is for the fifth box suite, so that I don't have to tune my cello between every movement, you know?
Yeah, if you were to do it live, if you were going to tour with it or whatnot. Yeah, that makes sense.
I love doing them live, because when you do them live, you get a chance to talk about the pieces. You can describe to people the journey as you go through it. And I've done those programs live, both completely continuous without any commentary and no applause. And I've also done them with sort of a running narrative, you know, talking and letting people applause and everything. And both ways have their advantages and disadvantages. But you know, it's getting to where most audiences seem to prefer, you know, this sort of it to be narrated a little bit, so they know what they're hearing, and they like the breaks of being able to react to certain movements and pieces, and it's worked nicely.
Yeah, or you could always substitute a Reger or Britten suite for the fifth, right?
Yes, there you go. Yeah, I could do, or I could do the fifth suite and the Britten suite, so it's somehow juxtaposed, right?
Yeah, or I was going to say, you could do it. Could you do a photo negative? Do a Britten suite and look for very old music to.
Yes, oh, that's
in,
true. Although, you know, there just is almost none. There's almost no unaccompanied cello music besides Bach. There's a little bit. You could transcribe some gamba stuff and all that, but there's really very little of it. You know?
Yeah, it'd be hard. Or you could, maybe that's the search of, you know, getting some Renaissance. New old Renaissance pieces. I don't know.
That's right. Yeah, we could certainly do that. You could make a lot of transcriptions, and people do that beautifully.
This is the danger of me talking late in the day after a full day, and you've been teaching. You are a dear to put up with my programming suggestions. Derek,
yeah, of course.
It is lovely to talk to you. I guess I'd end asking, who's going to collaborate with you at the keyboard?
Oh, Jonathan Feldman, an old friend, somebody I've played with a lot, and some of the greater fans of the Tuesday Music Club concerts will have heard the two of us together. I think it must be probably in about 2010, maybe 2009, when we came as two-thirds of the Zephyr Trio with our wonderful flute colleague Jeannie Galway, and it was out of that concert that this recital eventually came. It's taken a few years to get, you know, for us to come back. But Jonathan and I were playing in that trio and running around. And part of that trio was always to have little duos. And on that Zephyr program, we played the Chopin Polonaise. And apparently it was well enough liked that people thought it would be nice to have a whole recital of the two of us. And so that's how the invitation came. And that's why I'm playing the Chopin Polonaise again, because it was something of a hit, which it is. It's a spectacular piece. It's really wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Great stuff. Wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Derek, we're looking forward to your return to San Antonio, and wish you safe travels, and we'll see you Tuesday.
I'm looking forward to it.